sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered. That's our passage for today. It's in our passage for today. I wonder how many have ever gone or even hosted a church event and taken solace in this passage if hardly anyone shows up. Or how many have heard a pastor say this? You know, when you arrive and there's just a couple of you there, the pastor, you know, opens his hands and says, wherever two or three are gathered. And then we continue with the event. I know I've used it in that way. We toss this around as a reminder that Christ is always there with us, even if there's just a few of us, just two or three. And it's true. Christ is always there. But this is not what this passage is about. Friends, we're talking today, and in this fall season, in terms of this gospel season, the Gospel of Matthew, we are talking from these texts not about how we worship. That's not what these texts are about. Not about doing more outreach and evangelism. Not about stewardship this month. And not about how we spread the gospel and welcome new people on the outside in, at least not explicitly. We are talking today about ourselves, about you and me, and how we live together in community, how we do church. This passage, where two or three are gathered, is saying Jesus is there as we share life, as we share ministry, and particularly as we have conflict with one another, as we seek to be reconciled, as we refuse sometimes to forgive one another. Jesus is saying here, I see all that. I'm in the room when those conversations are happening. I am with you. We're talking about sinning against one another. Singular. One to one. And we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about becoming reconciled with one another. If a sibling in Christ has sinned against you, not sinned, but sinned against you personally, that's what Jesus is saying here. Have you ever been sinned against by a member of your community, of your church, of your family? I think the best way to identify the person or the people with whom you are not reconciled is to consider this. Who's keeping you awake at night? I don't mean a child crying in the next room keeping you awake at night, or a snoring partner. Maybe that's a different kind of reconciliation, but I mean here, who's taken up way too much space in your head, in your thoughts, in your anxiety, in a negative way, so much so that you can't even sleep? This is about forgiveness within the community of Jesus followers. If we're keeping with Matthew, we can make the passage say whatever we want, but if we're going to keep with Matthew, how shall we live together? Shall we live together by gossiping? By triangulating? You know what that is? If someone else, if you've got a problem with someone, you actually talk to someone else about the problem that you're having with them. So you create a triangle. Maybe you even hope that person then talks to the person you're really having the issue with. How shall we live together? By gossiping, by triangulating, by cutting one another down, by pointing out everyone else's faults, by shaming, by backstabbing, by competing at such a vicious level that it's hard to breathe. Or shall we live as a pillow church? Peaceably together. Not apart, but peaceably together. How might God's people live this stuff out? I recently heard of churches back in the day. Maybe you know of this. I had not heard of this, but a colleague actually served a church where this existed. They formed watch committees. I'm not talking about neighborhood watch. I'm talking about watch committees. And the watch committee's job, usually a group of, let's be honest, elderly white men, the watch committee, based on an incorrect reading of this very passage, in my humble opinion, was to watch everyone in the congregation and make sure no one sinned. If someone did sin, the watch committee would give you a phone call. They would go directly to that person with their Bibles open to Matthew 18 right here and point out the fault, tell them where they were sinning and what they had to do to regain proper status in the community and be reconciled. What do you think? Should we create the Bethlehem Watch Committee? Do we nominate people here to keep an eye on everyone else? Point out their sins? Maybe those committees in churches don't exist anymore officially, but unofficially. I wonder if we all can get a little too preoccupied with how wrong others are. This passage is not about who sins, but Jesus' words, who sins against you. Describing the old watch committee helps us get into Jesus' overall teaching in the whole Gospel of Matthew, and particularly here. Jesus is about heart surgery. And I don't mean a medical procedure. I'm talking about a spiritual one. And when it comes to someone wronging you personally, hurting you personally, sinning against you personally with their words or their actions, keeping you up at night, unreconciled thoughts tossing and turning, how do you deal with that? Well, Jesus says, first, you go and you talk to that person. Is there someone you need to speak to? Friends in Christ? I've observed some cultures, some parts of the country, some people are just better at this than others. It might be helpful to just reflect on who does this well. Who does it in a loving way? Who's able to go and just say in a very loving and honest way, you know? This is really tough stuff. It's much trickier than the checklists of the bygone watch committees. How can you go to the person that offended you with both an honest and a loving heart? That's where we need Jesus to do some surgery on our hearts. Can I speak with you, Joe? When you said this comment last week, I felt hurt. I felt scared. I felt upset. I felt sad. I felt angry. And I haven't slept well. I've been stewing on it for so long. How does Joe take it? How would you take it if someone came to you? I think the animal instincts are fight, flight, or freeze, right? Those are the animal instincts, and that's usually where things explode or don't go anywhere. But friends, also remember how God created us. Remember back in Genesis. How did God create us? By breathing the breath of life into the human. Breathe that breath of God that is in you in those moments. Whichever side you're on, whether you're the one doing the talking or you're trying to listen to someone who's come to you. This sounds way too simple, but it is incredibly profound. Deep breaths. They keep our minds and our ears open. They allow us, those deep breaths, to recognize, to notice the feelings that are there and are very real. Ooh, I'm noticing some anger coming up in me right now. Ooh, there's my wanting to bark back. Ooh, there's my heart pounding, or the sweat I can feel building up, or my fists clenching. There's that feeling. Ooh, there's that need that I have to justify what I just said or what I did a week ago. There's my need to be right. I'm noticing it. Can we let those noticings kind of be like boats kind of passing as we breathe? There it goes. Okay. God gives us breath, friends. Use that breath and breathe with your sibling in Christ. Hear, listen, speak. By the way, I hope you know I'm preaching to myself here. Also, this is the Gospel of Matthew. It's about the heart. And in a world then and now where everyone is worried about everyone else, for ill and for good, Jesus says, check yourself. Check your own pulse. Check yourself. Who's keeping you up? Who's taking up uneasy space in your soul? Make peace. But that invites us to look at maybe another extreme, far from the watch committee. In fact, I'll be honest, it's easy for me to laugh at the watch committee idea. Far from that is another stance, a stance that never wants to upset anyone. I probably live closer to that side. You know, that keep it copacetic, keep it happy, keep it easy. Let's just let everything pass. Leave everyone alone. Anything flies. Churches are out there like that too, you know. Never taking a stand on anything, because to do so, to speak up, to have the conversation, would so upset someone. And someone being upset, someone being unhappy, feels like the greatest offense. And those kinds of environments, friends, sexism thrives. Racism thrives. There's no watch committee anymore. Homophobia thrives. Because to be honest about those things, to really study and reflect on my own actions, my own privilege, my own heart, all that history, to look at it with clear eyes at the current state might upset someone. They might even leave. They might even get up and leave. Or they might make a power move with their money or their relationships, right? Anyway, whatever they do that causes a stir, and we don't want, we can't have a stir. So it's easiest and best to just do and say nothing. Just bury it. Don't go to the person. Keep the peace. Bottle it up. Sit down. Sit down. Settle down. Which often can mean or lead to self-medicating or some addictive, potentially very unhealthy, secretive behaviors. We even talked about this just this week with the songs that we're singing today from the Poor People's Campaign. We had decided that in this season of reformation, because October and the fall, reformation, protestant songs might be appropriate. So we've added and sprinkled into our liturgy all through these 2 or 3 months, protest songs, old protest songs. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. That sounds pretty fine, right? But the next verse, ain't gonna let no president turn me around. Ain't gonna let no war economy turn me around. Someone could get upset if we sing this or that, even if the words are true. I don't have a problem with it, but someone might. On Friday, I finally got to visit for the first time the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I was there for hours. And I heard this very song that we're singing today playing in the exhibits, because these are songs that they sang during the civil rights movement. Some of you were there. Let's just quiet that down. Let's just water that down. Just one example. On the one extreme are the hard watchers and the finger pointers. On the other, the soft self-medicators, isolated, checked out, passive almost to the point of comatose. Friends, Christ steps into this spectrum, wherever we find ourselves today, and says, when it needs to be said, stop. This is wrong. This treatment of one another is wrong. This judging is wrong. This checking out is wrong. Stop and be the community that I've called you to be. Go to the person who's wronged you. Talk to one another in person. See if that one can be regained. Maybe you're both regained in the process. That's reconciliation. Joe's hearing me. I'm hearing Joe, maybe for the first time. And now I can sleep again. The pillow, by the way, here in our pews, we have these pillows in our pew. The pillow's not a symbol of laziness here. It's a symbol of life. I can sleep again. And we can continue to be about the work of the church again, the work of sharing the good news in word and deed with the world. Most of the time, friends, this is as far as it needs to go, the one-on-one conversation, I mean. Sometimes taking that next step is needed. If the offender doesn't hear, if reconciliation is not found, sometimes bringing others into the honest conversation is necessary. And that too might lead to a beautiful reconciliation. Now, breaking down the details of that might be another sermon, but suffice to say, it takes careful, loving, faithful work. Work of the community. And it all should be shrouded in prayer. What I love about this is that we don't give up after one conversation, one attempt. I tried to talk to the person and it didn't work, and now we're done. Living together, as anyone in a committed partnership knows, takes patience. It takes trust. It takes forgiveness again and again. We try again. And maybe we try something else. We bring others in. That's what I love about this second part here of bringing others in. What does it look like for us in the church to stick together, to remain, to abide? Friends in Christ, this text turns us inward to look at ourselves. And so will next week's, how we're doing individually and as a congregation, little congregation here in Fairfax. How's the relationship between Joe and me, between Cindy and Dave, between John and Marie, between Heather and Tim, between Cindy and Mike? If we're good, if we're all good, and we might be, let's praise God for that. Thank God for that. We're in a good place. And then we ask, how do we nurture that? How do we keep that relationship healthy and thriving and good? Thank God for that. And if we've hurt one another, well, here's our text. And here's our God, once again, with us. As we're saying the hurtful things, and as we're embarking on the path to reconciliation, God is with you through it all, offering the full forgiveness that we can only hope to move toward, to move in the direction of. That full forgiveness is yours now, I said. That covers us first. Before we've even sung the gathering hymn, we are covered in the words and the reality of Christ's love. That forgiveness goes with you. into the days before us, into the conversations before us, into the ministry and the call that is before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.